Blog Talk Radio.
Miracles of the mind, heart intelligence, helping individuals transform their energy to align with prosperity. Accelerating the evolution of human consciousness while expanding our knowledge of the mind, soul, and body connection. Brought to you by Big Fish Energy Coaching Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Karis Alexander, your host for the next hour. I have Tammy McGowan on the line here. Tammy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Beautiful, beautiful. So I just wanted to share with you, everyone, today my quote on Facebook. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's pretty good, I think. My quote was, "There are many paths on the journey to your true self, as well as many different roads for travel. The transcendental leap will be made as we choose to learn to live and experience life from the frequency of the heart in order to evolve ourselves and this planet, rather than the repetitive patterns and mind games we keep playing with ourselves and others over and over and over again. The ego self would rather us be complacent and slowly self-destruct rather than reclaim our talents and gifts and live our life purpose. We have choice every step of the way, though. What choice are you making each and every day? The road most traveled through the ego, or the road less traveled through the heart?" So that was my quote for today. But I think that it'll kind of tie in a little bit with our topic here. I think we're going to have a wonderful discussion. Tammy is going to tell us about her super conscious living model, Made Easy. I kind of put model in there because it is a model. And Tammy and I had a discussion on her model prior to her coming on to the show. And so Tammy and I are going to have a dialogue for the next 60 minutes. And for those of you who would like to join us in the chat room, I know there are a number of people that wait out in the wings. Please feel free to do so and leave any questions or comments. Or if you'd like to call in, please feel free to call in at 347-215-7560 if you have any questions or comments. And please make us a favorite for Big Fish Radio, and or select the RSS feeds or stay in touch with us on iTunes. I have about 3 months worth of programs or guests that are coming on for the next till May, actually. I have a lot of people booked for future shows, so definitely tune in. So Tammy, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background? You and I have chatted, as I've mentioned, and this is a very interesting show because you and I had you had contacted me several months ago, and or even six months ago, is it right? 6 months ago?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
and so, right? And then talked about, you know, us possibly collaborating and doing a show together and seeing how that could unfold. And so this is what's transpired out of that, and I really appreciate you for reaching out, because one of the things that I find is that in doing this show, I've been doing this show for almost a year now, that I've only had a few women on the show. And I think it's because, well, my feeling, and maybe you can sort of shed some light on this as well, is that it's harder, I found it harder to connect with women. You actually do a show too, so maybe you've had more women on your show, but I found it a little bit more challenging getting women to connect on this level, and doing a show and feeling, I guess, comfortable interacting on this level. What's your experience?
Well, for me, I don't really look at it in terms of gender. I look at it in terms of where a person is in their spiritual life path and what they are willing to open up to and what they're willing not to. So it's a matter of a person's comfort level of really understanding who they are and allowing that to be the genuine essence of their life in their discussions and how they interact with people and how they engage with others. And it's indicative of where they are in their spiritual evolution, in their life path, and not necessarily their gender, because I speak with all types of people. I speak with male, female. I have different people from both genders on my show, atheists, Buddhists, Christians, Gnostics, what, you know, you name it. And to me, it's really where a person is and their willingness to let go of what they've come accustomed to or have accepted as truth for themselves, as well as what they're willing to let go of in those long-held belief systems that they hold on to, which falls in the realm of ego awareness. But for me, I don't really see it from a gender perspective. I see it from a spiritual essence and the comfort level a person has with opening up and allowing their soul to lead and guide them through higher consciousness. So it's how comfortable a person is with opening up and allowing that to flourish through them, and not so much a matter of their gender. Now, you may have, in your experience, and I don't want you to think that I'm discrediting that, it's just that maybe in your experience, in dealing with the number of people that you've dealt with, that because you've dealt with maybe a small number, that the sample that you had just happened to be women, and not necessarily all women, because as you can see, you and I have been engaging, you know, very comfortably about topics like this, and have connected on many different levels, and we do it quite easily with grace and ease, and not necessarily with rift and turmoil and strife, right? So,
yeah, it's also that's good feedback. I've put a lot of requests out to women, but I just haven't got as many responses. So it's not a matter of, so energetically I'm sensing it's not, there's just hasn't been as much of a flow as from the male counterpart. You know what I mean? For me, that's all.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So why don't we delve a little bit more into your background, what you have been doing, and you're going to talk to us about your model. So why don't you just sort of give us a little background as to what prompted you to even put together a model, and then we can go from there.
Oh, okay. For me, it all started at birth. I have to say that. It started at birth, but at the time that I was born, and a lot of people, and this is going to be in my book, my experience, it's what I like to call a reflection point. It's my first reflection point that I remember in my life in this present journey. But at the time that it was happening, it was coming into the world. I couldn't explain it to people after I got here. I could just only relate to it. And as I got older and got integrated into society and culture and religion and things like that, the stronger it became, the more it resonated in me, but I was still not able to talk to it. But I did know that I was intentionally allowed to come back into the world for a specific purpose, which is what my life's purpose is now and what is unfolding for me right now. Two or three years ago, I was spiritually activated, and I call it spiritual activation because at the time that it happened, I was only partially awake. It was like I would go back and forth, or I'd be like flickering a little bit. But at the time that this happened, I had what I call an angelical moment. And in that moment, I was touched, or should I say, I received direct intervention from a higher source, or beings of a higher source. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't describe it in human words. But all I could tell you at that moment is that I had an experience with a force that is outside of this present reality, that is outside of what we understand as human life. And because of that, that it happened so quickly, but it was so vivid, it was almost like I just stopped momentarily and I said to myself, I don't know why you're here, but whatever it is, I'm ready. And I knew that it was something. And I almost to the point where I said to myself, this is beyond what I understand right now. But at the same time, it wasn't. It was almost like I immediately knew that I was being activated. And when it happened, I remembered. I remembered why I came into the world instantaneously and why I had been chosen to be activated at this time, in this place, at this point in my life, in order for me to be ready to live my life's purpose and be here as a beacon of hope for the world. And so that's how the model came about. And it's funny because as that experience happened to me, it was almost as though information was being downloaded to me to help me remember, what my life mission was and how I had selected or chosen to cause myself to have this direct intervention at this age in my life, at this point, at this time, so that I could get course correct and get back on track to living my life's purpose. And I intentionally had it happen and requested that it happen, but was also forced to forget until the event took place. And so it was almost like a remembering process. And ever since that moment, I have never not been in constant communication with the life force energy that touched me that day. In fact, right now, as I'm speaking to you, I'm receiving direction. I'm receiving information. And the words that are coming out of my mouth are not mine. It's more me trying to help those who may be having trouble, who might listen to your show either live or in archive, understand the experience that I had. Now, I'm trying to put esoteric wisdom into carnal language, right? And there are some parts of my experience that I just absolutely cannot describe in human language. So that's how the model began to unfold for me. And from that moment on, I started to live every step of the process of this model that we'll be talking about, the experiences that I'll share, and how the model began to become a formal reality for me, and how it integrated into the curriculum that I'm in the process of producing right now as a part of Oracles of Truth, and all of the work that I had already done as a part of my dissertation work in education. So there's synchronicity in all that is happening, including you and I being on this live interview and on your show right now.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, you're just touching on some really key points here in that, you know, we all come into this physical world system with our memory intact. However, because of this third dimensional reality, there's an amnesia effect, and also through our institutionalization of our systems that we grow up into, we kind of end up, as we grow up, we end up forgetting our genetic imprinting, our genetic coding, because we come here with full memory of who we are. And even if you look at the a lot of the children coming into the world now into the higher frequencies, they're coming in with all their memory intact, you know, and as parents and as adults, it's really up to us to really nurture and foster or encourage these young children to explore and experience and develop their gifting, because just as we are coming into it for some of us now, although we're in our later stage of life, a lot of the children are coming in with their gifting intact, and unfortunately, we all should have, but you know that wasn't the case for a lot of us, and so this whole awakening process that we're into right now in terms of the new energies coming onto this planet. Like you said, you know, a couple of years ago, you had this awakening, and you are remembering these aspects of yourself. You know, there is a scientist within each and every one of us. There is a physicist within each and every one of us. There's a, you know, there's a lover within each and every one of us. You know, so we have all this information, and now we're coming. It's just being downloaded. You know, like you were just saying. So that's beautiful, and it's a wonderful time to be alive through this awakening process, and I really appreciate shows like this where we can have discussions and share our experiences of our awakening, because it can be quite isolating for a lot of us, and so it's a great opportunity for us to share in our experiences and able to support one another and also to support those who are in the process of their own awakening. So that's wonderful. It's beautiful. So why don't you share with us a little bit about your model and how it's really helped you, and give us some examples. Maybe you can give us the model steps and give us some examples of how it's helped you, and we can continue to dialogue from there.
Yeah, okay. So I'll first outline what the model is, and then I'll go through each step and try to give real-world examples from within my life, where each of those steps, especially a lot recently over the last 3 years or so, I've had a lot of examples. But the first step is called recognize. It's the recognition is the first step. And the second step is surrender. The third step being accept. The fourth step being listen. The fifth step being transform, and the sixth step being experience. Now, the recognize step, this step begins with the mental process of identifying first cause in your life and understanding who you truly are beyond your projected world identity. That recognition, and when I say recognize, I mean recognize. Okay, recognize, which means remember, remembering your choice, the first activation that caused you to enter into the world. And that first choice is a domino effect from there. All of us made the choice. A lot of people don't think that they made the choice. They're walking around thinking that the choice happened to them, that they're here from because of someone else's choice or because of God's choice. But recognizing that you are at the helm of everything that's going on, and you have forgotten that you made the choice. So that's the first step, recognize. The second step is to surrender, because at this point you have recognized that you're here and you have a world identity, but you know that there are two parts of you. There's this spiritual essence of you that says this is who you are, and then there's this mental essence of you that says this is who you are, and there's a conflict there. Well, to bring it back in balance, you have to surrender. And the only way to surrender is to let go, to let go of that part of you that wants to be cut off and separated, which we like to call the ego. So you must be willing to embrace your unknown but certain future by releasing yourself from the self-indulgent belief about your place in the world and that you are this identity that you've taken on. When you let that go and you realize who you are, your inner essence, and that that's who you are, and that this identity that you've taken on is just a representation or a costume, so to speak, that you have stepped into to be the character role that you're playing right now. And so when you recognize that and you surrender that outer essence, then you are allowed, you must accept that that's what it is. Don't challenge it. Don't try to refute it, but just be with knowing this is who you are and embracing it. So there's where the acceptance come in, the power to know yourself and to attain your greatest potential because you have recognized it. You've surrendered the outer essence, which is the ego, and now you have accept your inner essence and you're allowing that to shine through because that is who you are. But once you've done the acceptance piece, you have to move into the space of listening because it is only through your willingness to accept instructions from your higher self, which knows all things, that your life path can unfold as it should. And then there will be a natural transformation of who you are in your renewed state of being you will begin to experience. Not just for yourself, but for others. And you'll begin to experience that on a regular basis. And that's where step six becomes a continual process of recognizing, surrendering, accepting, listening, transforming every day for the rest of your life. Okay? And that's really what those six steps are. They're individual, discrete steps, but they're also continuous because it's easy because you're still in the physical form. If you allow the outer essence, your ego, to govern your life, which is what it, most people are walking around with their egos turned on, that it can come back around through the back door and take control again. So you have to constantly be aware of what's going on in your mental state because the ego is just the disposition of the mind. That's what that is. Now, what's the first recognition? How did I recognize? Well, there have been several reflection points in my life that I can go back to and which helped me to remember. But the biggest one that activated me was the one that happened a few years ago where I said I was spiritually activated. That was the main coup de grace, you know, reflection point, because it was that one event that was orchestrated as a part of my life path that was meticulously placed at that exact time in that, you know, according to the 3D world, because we know that time doesn't really exist. But in terms of my progression from birth to where I am now, 3 years ago, backwards, at that exact moment was a critical, I would say, milestone in terms of helping me remember. It was what I call the angelical moment, and it's the kind of moment that you can orchestrate in your life path where you have a direct intervention from what some people would call God.
Yeah, it's awakening. Some people call it an awakening.
It's an awakening point. Now, that's the recognition piece. But there were smaller micro remembering points that I could remember, or what I call reflection points, points when I could go back, like momentarily in my consciousness right now, I could go back and say, I remember when that happened, and it was a memory jogger for me. It was like a point in my consciousness where I gave myself a visual cue or a mental cue, right? And I said, aha, and I remembered, but I wasn't awakened enough to sustain the remembrance, right? It was like when you're not fully awake, you just get glimpses of it, and then it's kind of like evanescent. It appears, and then it's fleeting. It disappears, and then you have another one, and then you're like, oh, deja vu kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's like blinking your eye.
Right, like blinking your eye. And so my first reflection point happened at birth. I remember being in my mother's womb. I remember the experience of being born. It was my very first reflection point. It was a micro reflection point, but it was the one point that reminded me that I was here for a significant purpose. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I couldn't explain it to other kids or not even to my parents, but I knew it, and I would try to talk about it, but I really couldn't talk about it because I didn't fully remember. So that's an example of two reflection points, and I called them micro and macro reflection points because there are key points in your life path where you do receive divine intervention, and it can be directly or indirectly. And then there are reflection points that you know, micro ones that you have set up to cause you to remember as well.
Okay, so what's a reflection point?
A reflection point is a point in your consciousness where you remember why you're here because of the events that are going on in your life or what happened at that point in your life. It causes you to have a memory, a remembering point. It's a reflection point is a mental point in your consciousness where you remember part of the purpose of why you're here.
Beautiful. Okay, so your model then would it be considered a self-reflective model, or it's also sounding like a stages of one's evolution once they awaken?
I'd say it's both.
Okay.
It's both because it depends on the individual and how they've constructed their life path. So, like for me, it was a combination of both. For you, I don't know, because it's your life path, what you set up. Only you can remember your life path and what you set up. The idea is to set up through this curriculum the right tools to help you have the memory joggers or the mental point to help you remember the points in your consciousness so you can have that awakening happen and you remember your own life path and remember your own life purpose. It's not for you to try to be equivalent to mine, but just have enough of the tools that are accessible to you to help cause you to remember so you can step into your greatness and live out your true life intent or purpose.
That's excellent because I believe, you know, as I was saying in the beginning, that, you know, we all are genetically wired. There's an encoding, there's a history within each and every one of us, and we are awakening to that if we're choosing to be on that path to awakening to this wisdom, this history that we all have within our being. However, a tool like the one that you're talking about that you developed can support people who are in the process of awakening, and then they can awaken to their own six or seven steps, you know, because I actually developed something quite similar, but it was based on my whole process of awakening. So I believe that we are all encoded to awaken to some type of process within each and every one of us that will support us on our path as we evolve as a species, or as we evolve into the awakening of the truth of who we are. It's just that if we haven't awakened to that, then, you know, as a facilitator, as a teacher like yourself, or facilitator or teacher like myself, who has gone through or is going through the process or continues to go through the process, then we can support others who are on a similar journey And in so doing that, we can provide them with a model like the one you're sharing with us, right?
Right. And see, this model is generic enough that a person can take this model and adapt it to their own liking, to what works for them. Nothing is etched in stone.
Right.
Not even your life path, the one that you set up. See, I set my life path up to be an evolving, unfolding, world without end expression of unconditional love wherever I go.
Beautiful, yeah. I have a comment from the chat room. It's the moment you receive the message in the bottle from Source Core Expression. I call them light code triggers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a unique process. Light code triggers, right. However, here's something for you. If those light code triggers are full of muck and guck and all kinds of emotional debris, you won't be able to activate those light code triggers. So that's why it's so important, and I tell this to everyone on all my shows, and no one likes to hear me, but I say it because it's so important, is to do the emotional body work. Because those light code triggers will not be able to be activated if we are not doing the emotional body work. We do the emotional body work, it clears those light code triggers so that the wonderful stream of source energy can flow through us uninhibited, and we can have access to more of our inner knowledge, inner wisdom, inner history. Beautiful.
Yes. So I'll explain it how, based on what you just said, I'll explain how I remembered and how I use what you called, what Power of Now is calling light code triggers, and what you called doing the emotional body work. I use both of those at the same time to help me remember. So here are some more examples for remembering. I like to call them recurring life themes. These are things that happen in your life, either from a pattern that keeps coming around from your own doing, or a pattern that comes around from other people synchronistically entering your life, allowing and causing these experiences to happen in your life, and you engaging in that, like, say, with your family members or with friends or with a husband or a wife, and say, for example, a colleague who says, I want to borrow some money from you. Now, you have already told them that if they borrow money from you, you want them to pay you back when they say they're going to pay you back, right? But they say they agree, so you give them the money. This is just an example. So they agree, you give them the money, and they don't pay you back on time. So you keep, you know, you that experience of you agreeing to do something and them agreeing to follow through with what they said and they not following through on it, well, that is a recurring life theme that you can, or, you know, when I say theme, it's like an experience that keeps coming back to you until you choose differently. And the moment, and how you feel about it, your emotional body work comes from the angst, the anger, the animosity, the pain, the suffering, the fear that you have about having to keep facing the same thing that keeps coming back around, because every time you see that life theme happening, it angst you, or it causes you to be angry, and you don't channel that properly, that energy, and you don't handle it, and you don't correctly, you know, alleviate the recurring life theme, then it keeps coming back around because you need to overcome the emotional duress that you get under every time it happens. So if you don't want it to happen, the challenge is for you to choose differently. So if you don't want that experience, how can you choose differently? Well, don't keep doing the things that you know that are going to cause you to get angry and And if that is the case, and you keep getting angry and you're mad and you're irritated and you're angry with the people that are coming, they're just showing up because they're characters to help remind you of the emotional body work that keeps recurring in your life that you don't like. Right? So they keep you it may come in the form of a friend, it may come in the form of a family member, or anybody may activate it in you or be a representation of that recurring life thing, causing that experience to happen. And you know you don't like that experience, so you have to handle that situation in a way that is going to cause you to make a transition spiritually and make a change and not keep choosing those same, you know, recurring life things every time it shows up, whether it be in relationships or whether it deals with money or whether it deals with religious rhetoric, whatever it might be, those recurring life things are showing up in the form of individuals who interact with you in your life that causes this so-called pain, when actually it's not them, it's you. It's you pulling that same experience to you, and you haven't recognized that you keep pulling the same experiences, so that those people are just characters or actors in the movie that is occurring because you keep drawing that same experience to you. So you draw the experiences that you're having. So how are you going to choose differently? So that is I used a lot of experiences like that and it accelerated the more that higher consciousness worked with me, that the more I kept recognizing that I was pulling those experiences to me, that it was not them per se, the person that I was, you know, having the experience with, but it was really me, and I needed to work through the pain of keep choosing the things that I don't want, right? And so once I was able to recognize that, I was able to let it go. And the moment I recognize that I'm actually drawing all of the experiences, the negative things that are happening to me, is of my own making, when I recognize that and I'm able to let it go, that's where I move into the process of transformation, because I'm doing that on a consistent basis. So I'm always choosing what I always want, as opposed to thinking that these things outside of me is actually causing me the pain, when actually I'm causing my own pain because I keep asking for it and it keeps recurring as a recurring life thing.
No, that's very good. Good way of explaining it. Just to take it a little bit deeper, a little step further, you know, we do get traumatized when we're children, and our personality is actually a reflection of all the areas that we've been neglected as a child. So when this ego, a lot of the adults that are walking around with these personalities, it's really what I call ego defense. So it's a personality construct that is developed, or the ego is a personality construct which forms out of the areas in which we've been neglected as a child. And so what happens as adults is that we are, through our personality, trying to get our needs met, our neglected needs met from childhood. And so you've got all these adult children walking around trying to get our needs met, but really it's not, and I really commend people, because we really don't know to the level and degree to which we are constantly acting out and getting these reflected back to us, all the areas in which we need to be working on within ourselves. But until we can get to a place of identification, really identifying that we have been hurt and that what we are attracting into our lives is just more experiences to remind us how we've been so neglected as a child, and that we need to work through that stuff. Most people don't have the tools in their toolkit to really work through their stuff. And so we are constantly in a position of reacting to people and reacting to life, as opposed to being responsible. And so a lot of the work that I do in assisting people is really allowing them to release that trauma. Because it's one thing to work on the beliefs and the limiting beliefs and the core themes. But if you cannot release that trauma that's been locked in on your physical body, it will dissolve it. It will continue to keep reoccurring in your life. And so when I talk about doing the emotional body work, that's just taking it to a whole another level. But that's been a lot of the work that I've had to do. And because, you know, and let me tell you, doing core theme work and doing the emotional body work and doing the ego work, that is it. I cannot stress that anymore to people. You know, and the more work that we do in this area, and it's lifelong, it never ends, it doesn't stop, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you're making some great points, and I like your model because it really reflects on, it really gives people the impetus to take the responsibility back onto themselves and to do that inner work, which I so think is so important. So,
right. And yeah. And see, the idea with the surrender piece is once you recognize that you are not the costume that you've taken on, that's the bottom line. You are not the character that you decided to be in this world's grip.
Oh, that is not the truth of who you are, no. No,
yes,
it's actually the catalyst to get you to the truth of who you are, which you
exactly.
We don't even really know.
And then
we really can't know it through the five sense reality, right?
Exactly. You know, people associate who they are with their bodies. Like, I've done it before. I've done this experiment when I was living in Chicago. I'd be talking with, you know, friends about spiritual stuff, or we'd be sitting down at the table talking, and he'd be like, well, how do you recognize? How do you know? And I'd be like, here comes our waiter. Let's ask him. And I, you know, just test the waiter, and I'd say, hey, John, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. How are you? You guys ready to order? Yeah, we're ready to order. But before we do, I have one question to ask you. Who are you? You know, you ask that question. And the very first thing that comes back is the very thing that they shouldn't say. And he says, well, I'm John. You are? Is that who you are? Is that, I didn't ask you your name. I asked, who are you? Those are two different. And see, people associate the word, when that question, who are you, with what is your name, right? So that's an example of how people misidentify who they are with the identity that they've taken on from the moment of their birth. So then they say, well, how can I be anything other than John? I said, let me ask you this question. If when you were born, before your parents gave you a name, were you John? And the moment I make that statement, I need not say anything else because they automatically recognize what I'm talking about. You were something before your identity was given to you. So I'm going to ask you again, who are you? And then that's when they go into, well, I don't know. Which speaks of the fact that there was some amnesia somewhere, that at some point before they got their identity, they forgot who they are because they can't go back past the birth moment. The thing for me was that I remember birth. I remember the experience of coming through the birth canal. So when I had my activation, you know, a few years back, it was like a major reflection point in my life past because it all of a sudden at that exact moment I understood in that moment why I remembered my birth. All of those years, 38 years I had remembered my birth. I had never told anybody that I had remembered my birth until after I had that spiritual activation in 2008. Then after that, I understood why I remembered and why I needed to explain to people that I remember my birth. And most people be like, no, you don't. I'm like, I do. Well, what do you remember? And then I tell them what I remember. Right?
The no, that's great.
Of actually coming through the birth canal and the dialogue that I had with I and I consciousness and the ego and myself all at the same time.
Right. Well, I often talk about the fact that we come into this world, before we come into this world, you know, we're either talking with our guides or our source, and we come in with a plan, but then our guides and source, or, you know, our angels or whatever say to us, you know, you may forget when you go into planet Earth, you know, that what you were supposed to do, and we all said, oh no, we won't forget. Well, we did.
Yeah.
We actually did forget. And that's we're here to do, is to remember.
Yes.
Yeah. This whole process. I love it.
Mm. Yeah. Because that was a part of, the, you know, and the people, and there's, I mean, some of the curriculum, it's going to take a lot of people who are not awake yet. If they take the class because they want, they feel the urge or pull to be awakened, it's going to be hard because they're going to have some cognitive dissonance in their being. They're going to be hearing new concepts, things that aren't written in the Bible, things that aren't written in the Bhagavad Gita, things that aren't written in the Quran, that they're going to have cognitive dissonance because they can't associate with what they're hearing in the message of the curriculum with what they already know. And what the only way to ease that pain is to tell people, it's not a part of this world. What you are learning right now is being given as a intervention to help us to accelerate the process to our transformation. It is not being given from inside of the world, because there's nothing in the world that can help you make that transition. You have to have an activation or some influence externally in order to help you remember. You can't do it alone. And this is the thing. No one can do it alone. Everyone must be assisted through the process that's been put in place, which is within you. And in order for you to remember, you have to make the first step toward recognizing, surrendering, and accepting. And when you make that first step, your process will unfold for you naturally. My process is just a tool to help you start making that conscious first step towards doing it. It's not a replacement for your own, though.
Yeah, I see it's, you know, it's kind of a good thing, and it's kind of a, you know, not a bad thing, I would say, but what I've come to realize is that, you know, as we move into this, as our evolutionary process, move into our evolutionary process that we're undertaking right now, that we cannot learn what it is that we need to know about the truth of who we are within the confines of this physical world system. We have to be able to step outside the confines of this physical world system. And so that can be a little unnerving for people, because we've been programmed and conditioned within this system, and it's a subjective experience. It's not, and so what we are doing now in terms of our evolutionary process, moving out of the intellect and into the heart, it's a completely different way of being. And as we move from the intellect into the heart, we're moving out of the objective experience, and because it must become a subjective experience. We can only know the truth of who we are through the experience of our soul essence and our connection to our Creator, mm-hmm. and living from that place. And it's completely different. It's like you're living from a whole place of non-judgment, no fear, unconditional love. It's like your frequency sorting like you wouldn't believe. You're totally being in alignment. It's totally the antithesis, if I'm saying that right, of what this physical world system has taught us. It's totally different. So, anyway, that was my answer for the moment.
Right.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Well, the system was set up because it's of our own making.
Yeah.
See, we're not forced to come here. We choose to come here.
You have to learn that. I mean, it's easy for us to say that, but a lot of people will not agree with that, you know.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people...
I'm not seeking agreement. I'm just making, I'm expressing my truth. And I had one lady, and I just want to share this with you for a second. I had one lady who's very religious in her following, right? She and I was talking one day, and she, I hardly ever talk with her, but for whatever reason, I was at the client side, and she wanted to talk to me. She said, you know, you walk around and you exude this confidence when you're here. And I'm like, yeah, this is who I am. And she says, well, I kind of, you know, I noticed that you have this glowing thing about you, but, you know, I just was wondering, are you religious? And I was like, no. She says, well, do you believe in God? I said, yes and no. And she says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what you call God, I call I and I consciousness, and I'm not going to allow myself to get caught up in the definition of what people call, want to call that thing, that essence. I'm not going to get caught up in, well, it's this name or it's this name, you know, or either or kind of philosophy. To me, it's all the same stuff. You're just choosing to say one word over another word.
That's pointers.
That's how I, right? And so she says, well, you know, and I'm sharing my truth. I said, I believe that we are all reflections of deity. And she says, well, I don't believe that. And I said, you don't have to. I love you just as you are. So what do you believe? And she says, well, I believe I'm too little and too insignificant to know the things that you're talking about. I said, and that's perfectly okay. But you asked me, and I'm sharing. And she says, well, you're saying it like it's fact, like it's factual. I said, for me it is. For me it is factual. The question is for you to figure out what's factual for you. My being, you know, what I'm sharing with you is not to share it with you to change you from being who you are. It's just to let you know that this is who I am, and this is how I'm expressing my truth. And this is how I live my life. And it's not going to change just because you don't agree with me. No more than you're going to change just because I don't share your view. It is possible for both of us to coexist in the world and have two separate views. And neither one of us can cancel each other out because it's valid because I say it's valid. And yours is valid because you say it's valid. You are manifesting your truth, and until you recognize who you are from your own essence and your own life path and your own process of awakening, it's going to be the way it is until it's not. And for me, that's perfectly okay. I want you to be more of you that you chose to be, because you chose to be who you are. And it's the only way that I can experience myself the way I said I want to experience myself, which is to be a pure reflection of unconditional love from multiple perspectives. So I can't experience what I say I want to experience if you are exactly like me. I said,
yeah,
there are choices being made here. Everyone's
making choices.
No,
that's
choice.
A very good point you're making, because as we move into the construct or the in true alignment with the evolving humanity that we are, or the trajectory that we are on, it will be, it will not be a consensus type of model. It's going to be an individuated model. There are going to be some similarities, but we are not going to, we're going to celebrate our uniqueness. We're not going to be in a position to have to conform or consensus, have a consensus type of reality under which is our current construct. Because
right.
That's a form of limitation and lack, you know. When we're all conforming or we're all having to agree, you know, it creates that hierarchy type of dynamic, and it does not allow for one's authenticity or self responsibility to shine through.
Right. And it also limits creation.
Exactly.
In the possibility of creation, because if you really truly believe in creative potential and power, there are no limitations. That anything's possible as long as you are choosing for it to be. So yeah. there are no. I mean, even if you were to take, and I use this as an example for her. I said, even if you were to take the Bible, which says that God is omniscient, all powerful, all knowing, can do all things, and you hold that as truth for you, to hold the notion that creation can only be made in this form limits the possibility of an evolving, expansive, you know, growing creative power, because you're limited to only being manifested in this way. And so that just doesn't work for me. It doesn't.
No, I totally understand that. So, Tammy, we've got about 4 minutes left on the show, but what else did you want to share with us before we – what did you want to enlighten us with?
Well, in terms of the model is not a – I don't want people to think that this model is an exact science for everybody. But what it is a starting point for everybody. It is generic enough that – and it's simplified enough that people, regardless of what religious background they come from, will be able to pick this model up and be able to start to apply it until they feel comfortable enough to trust their own inner essence of and guidance and allow their own model to unfold and to come forth. So it's that. The second thing is that this is a part of a larger curriculum in which we're going to be launching our first online tuition-free course coming up in February. We're going to do a pilot run, so I'm actually looking for light workers who would be interested in taking a pilot version of the course to give us feedback. So that's another thing. And then we're going to launch this the beginning of all of curricula. Every 2 months, we want to try to put out a couple of new courses, online e-courses, that's going to allow people to enroll and start taking classes in order to awaken their greatest potential.
Beautiful. So where can people learn more about you and your
course? They can go to our website, oraclesoftruth.org, and I'm typing it right now in the chat. And they can learn about the curriculum programs that we're offering, including the Personal Transformation Leadership Program. That particular program is a part of a larger curriculum framework called the Integrated Personal Transformation Leadership Program, and we were in the Pepsi Refresh competition in December. In fact, even though we didn't win, we were in one of the higher rankings, and Pepsi has invited us back to compete again in order for to get a chance at winning another chance at winning $250,000 in March. So we're going to be on the campaign trail again coming up in March to try and raise as many votes as we can to continue this process toward receiving a Pepsi Refresh grant for us to bring forth more of the curricular framework because of the initial round of funding that we can leverage from this opportunity.
Wow, that's beautiful. It seems like you're doing a lot of work, but definitely you and I are walking similar paths, and I'm glad that you reached out and made contact in terms of us doing this show, and I really support you in the work that you're bringing to humanity. You seem to be very gifted and talented, and I wish you all the best in the future, and those that you support in your work. So I thank you so much for coming on to the show, and it's been a wonderful, fast hour. And and I hope that for everyone who's listening, to go out and support Tammy and her work if you feel so inclined. And for those of you listening to the archives, I thank you for being on the show. And anything else you wanted to leave us with before we head out here?
No, I'm here for you and everyone else.
Beautiful, beautiful. So that pretty much wraps up our show, everyone. I thank you so much for the participation. And again, you can make us a favorite or select RSS feeds or listen to us on iTunes or become a friend on Blog Talk Radio and also become a friend on Facebook. We have so much fun on Facebook, don't we, Tammy?
Yes, we do.
Facebook is such a wonderful place and to get to know people and meet people. So,
Power, connect. Connect, Power.
Yes. Beautiful.
I know you,
so thank
I
you
know
again,
you
Tammy, and wish you all the best again. And everyone, I wish you a wonderful evening, and we'll see you next week. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Miracles of the Mind, Heart Intelligence, helping individuals transform their energy to align with prosperity. Accelerating the evolution of human consciousness, while expanding our knowledge of the mind, soul, and body connection. Brought to you by Big Fish Energy Coaching Radio.